Researchers at the University of Arizona are working on a new kind of pacemaker that would be battery-free and cause wearers less pain. Philip Gutroff, assistant professor of biomedical engineering at U of A, is one of the lead scientists on the project, and he spoke with my co-host Mark Brody, starting with about what led to the idea to look in this direction.
Typically, we as technologists start with a complaint or a wish from physicians and or scientists that come to us to change tools that they have at their disposal to either look into biology or change the way that they treat patients. And this is one of those examples. I have collaborators at the Northwestern University that came to us and really looked for an ability to not only use the sledgehammer that a usual pacemaker is to change the way that the heart beats, but have a much more sophisticated way of re-choreographing your heartbeat that has less impact on the person using it.
So when you talk about kind of a sledgehammer approach that a traditional pacemaker uses, what do you mean by that?
So a traditional pacemaker has one or two contacts, and they use a fairly intense delivery of energy to your heart in order to bring it back into its natural rhythm. And that is noticeable for people who are wearing these devices, especially if it's defibrillating. And that is something that can be changed with modern technology. And so the reason why you feel this is because the electrical current that gets run through the muscle affects not only the muscle itself, you want this contraction, but it also affects all of the neurons and pain receptors that are around this particular area that make it to your brain and you recognize that something is going on.
So how do you try to take then a more targeted, approach, sort of, the old phrase, use a scalpel as opposed to a sledgehammer kind of thing?
Yes. Yeah, so first of all, we introduced several new technologies with this particular platform. So one is that we have the ability to send power wirelessly to the device, and that allows us to use much more sophisticated electronics and algorithms. They use up more power. However, they give us the ability to record from multiple sites at the heart and also do more computation on the device itself to tailor a stimulus approach, which is currently not possible because you don't want to burn up too much energy. Otherwise, you have to go to surgery and replace those batteries very frequently. So that is number one. Number two is we have the ability now to make electronics soft and stretchable, and that allows us to not only have one rigid point of stimulus at the heart, such as the regular pacemakers, but cast effectively a net around the heart that stretches and conforms with it that is cast over with sensors. So we have 9-10 points around the heart that allow us to not only affect one area broadly, that's the sledgehammer that we talked about before, but also enable a more targeted approach of select areas of the heart to choreograph the heart back into its natural rhythm instead of delivering a large shock to shock it back into place.
Other than potentially the user feeling pain, what are the other benefits of being able to take that more targeted approach?
So that allows us to use much less energy delivered to the heart, right? So that reduces the impact on the user, but also enables us to terminate, for example, arrhythmia much, much earlier, which ultimately has a great benefit to cardiac health. That is one approach. The other benefit, and that is something that doesn't necessarily affect patients right now, but it is also a great research tool for cardiovascular surgeons, for biologists that want to understand how heart disease evolves over time, because we can probe at different locations of the heart during research studies, which in turn allow us to test drugs more effectively, which in turn allow us to understand the mechanism of heart disease much better, which directly impact a patient's lives right now.
So it kind of sounds like what you're saying is that when your pacemaker detects a problem, it can work to try to get things back into rhythm only in the area where it's needed, right? Where the help is needed, as opposed to a traditional pacemaker, which really just kind of shocks the entire heart back into rhythm, as opposed to just the particular area that's in distress.
That is correct, right? We can run a much more targeted approach through the ability to affect only the relevant areas and also have the ability to monitor the heart much more closely with more points of recording in comparison to usual devices.
So you mentioned the danger of the batteries running out and people needing surgery to replace them. Where does the power for your pacemaker come from?
Yeah, so for our preclinical testing, we have instrumentalized areas and arenas that allow us to send power over some distance. You can do this up to a meter. But obviously, people are moving around in their daily lives. So what we've shown in other studies is that you can create wearable devices that allow you to recharge pacemakers and or other organ interfaces continuously.
Is it safe to say that ideally the device that you are developing might be able to be more personalized than the kinds of pacemakers that are available now?
Yes, certainly. Because we have the ability to run, it's a small computer on the device, we can run algorithms that are much more personalized than your current devices, where this is fairly simple. We also have the ability to target, and we didn't talk about this yet, to target certain cell types within the heart that is not currently possible with electrical stimulation. So the stimulation mode of these type of devices, we have electrical classical stimulation embedded in it, but we also have the ability to use light to, for example, target only cardiomyocytes, and those are the cells responsible for contracting the muscle in your heart. So we have that additional capability that provides this higher fidelity.
All right, that is Philip Gutroof, an assistant professor of biomedical engineering at the University of Arizona. Philip, nice to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mark.